Let's take your Bibles and open up to Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 33. Mark chapter 6 and verse 33. The title of my sermon today is A Satisfying Shepherd, A Satisfying Shepherd King. Mark 6:33. That's a bit loud. Now, many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to them, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. He commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave it to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces and of fish. And those who ate the loaves were over 10. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on a mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was in it on the land. He was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the 4th watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass them by, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost, and they cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. I love that my non-Presbyterian friends don't know what to say after that. That's so cool. And we're just trying to train you up. So, brothers, Halloween is just around the corner. And according to the statistics last year, Americans spent $4 billion on Halloween candy. That's $4,000 million. And perhaps that's why we have to spend so much money, is that they don't really satisfy. They're just empty calories. That's why you can eat a whole bag of Reese's peanut butter cups and still want more. Not that I'm recommending that you try. Carbs are just empty calories that don't satisfy. What are you eating over there? Some carbs? All right. In reality, we live in a carbohydrate world, don't we, brothers? Where nothing ultimately satisfies us. The prophet Isaiah asks, "Why do you spend your money for that which does not satisfy, which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy?" It's a great question. It's a question we should be asking ourselves and those who listen to us in our congregations. But Isaiah wasn't talking about Halloween candy. He was talking about soul satisfaction, life satisfaction. And in this passage, we're going to see that Jesus is the divine shepherd king who truly satisfies, and therefore, it's what we need for salvation, for satisfaction. Jesus is the true shepherd king who alone satisfies, and so we should run to him alone for satisfaction. So you remember the first half of Mark's gospel is essentially focused on the question of who is Jesus, and the disciples give voice to that question at the end of chapter 4, where they ask, "Who then is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" It's because first century Jews had no expectation that God himself, Yahweh, I am, would come in the flesh as a real man, and so the disciples had no category for which to understand what they were experiencing Jesus. He was obviously more than a mere man. And in the immediate context of chapter 6, we just saw Herod's banquet, where people were continuing to speculate about who is Jesus? Who is he? Most of the people were thinking that he was just one of the prophets. Herod thinks that Jesus may be John the Baptist back from the dead, but certainly not God in flesh. But as we're about to see, these answers regarding the identity of Jesus, one of the prophets, Elijah, John the Baptist raised, were all completely inadequate. In our text, Jesus performs two miracles that demonstrate his power over nature, which could only be described as divine. Multiplying food and walking on the water reveal Jesus' true identity, although Mark is clear at this point, the disciples still don't see him for who he truly is. So Jesus leaves this crowd and he pushes off from the shore of the boat, but the crowds recognize him. They run to meet him on the other side, and Jesus steps out of the boat and finds the people he was trying to escape waiting for him. Sunday morning, man. It's crazy. If you're like me, you've had this experience as a preacher. You preached your guts out twice, and you're trying to leave to go and have lunch with your family, and you see that person coming. You're like, please don't make eye contact. Is there another way out of here? I have got to get out of here because I am tired. But Jesus' response is not like ours. It's rather surprising. He's not annoyed. He's not exasperated. He's not frustrated like we might be. But he's moved with compassion for them, the text says. Jesus shares the same character as our Heavenly Father, the Lord, a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and kindness. Now, the reason why Jesus' compassion is stirred within him is because he saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd. He understood their need of him. Shepherdless sheep were helpless, hopeless, likely to die quickly. Shepherds lead their sheep into green pastures for food and by still waters to drink, otherwise they'd be swept away by the waters and perish. So as pastors, we are confronted with this regularly, I think. There are so many needs in our congregations, and we lack the resources individually or as a church to adequately meet those needs. And at times like that, we can feel desperate, helpless, hopeless. And perhaps that's how it's supposed to be. Perhaps that's how we're supposed to feel. Sorry, my notes are completely out of order here. Yeah. It happens to the best of us, brothers. Yeah, that's all right. You get the point. This is what happens when you write your sermon the day before. Sorry, I'm completely lost. I know you had high expectations for me. This is where the Lord's humbling me. I was praying the Lord wouldn't humble me. So we're gonna unfold these so that I can follow what I'm doing here. Folded in the wrong way. We're not starting over, by the way. Forget that. I'm already hungry. All right, now I think we're good. We already did that page. All right. So, we're on the mountain. We're in the green grass. The hour's getting late. And the disciples come to Jesus and they say, hey, dismiss the crowds because it's late. This is desolate. And they've got to go find something to eat. Jesus says, you give them something to eat. And the disciples respond by saying, that would cost 200 days' wages, 200 denarii. You know, if that was what we're supposed to do, they're shocked at Jesus' request. That's like maybe we should think of $20,000 to $30,000. And even if they did have that much cash on hand, would that be the best and wisest use of the resources? But as always, Jesus is far out in front of those who follow him, as all good shepherds are. He had already planned to do this miracle that should have been familiar to these people, people familiar with the Old Testament, and which would reveal his identity. So Jesus sends his disciples out to collect the provisions that they have. They return with 5 loaves and 2 fish, something completely inadequate to meet the crowd of 10,000 people. It would be like trying to feed a Simeon Trust workshop for a whole week on 2 saltine crackers and a protein bar. It just won't work. And Jesus does this. He makes them go find what they have to point out their total inadequacy to care for the needs of the people. You don't have enough, but you have me. As pastors, we're confronted with this regularly. So you might just pick back up. We're good. So many needs in our congregations, and we lack the resources individually to meet those needs. We feel responsible for the people, but we can feel completely desperate and helpless and hopeless to actually meet all the needs that are in front of us, and perhaps that's how we're supposed to feel. I think that's why this lesson was developed by Jesus. They don't have enough, but they do have Jesus. So they bring what they have to Jesus. Jesus has the people sit down on the green grass, says a blessing over the food, begins to break it up, give it to the disciples, who in turn pass it on to the hungry sheep. It's a vivid illustration, isn't it, of what it means to preach God's word. We receive from Jesus, and we pass on what we received from Jesus to his people, no less, no more. And Mark tells us that they all ate 10,000 or more and were satisfied, so satisfied that they couldn't finish all that Jesus had provided. Now, if his disciples were paying close attention, they would know that this miracle revealed a great deal about Jesus' true identity. Perhaps this is why this is the only miracle of Jesus that's recorded in all 4 Gospels. And brothers, we have to point. Look at that. There it is. I'm ahead of myself now. So the first thing I want you to notice about this banquet that Jesus prepares, okay? It immediately follows the banquet of Herod. And it does so because we're meant to see the contrast. Herod's banquet was thrown for himself. Herod's banquet was for the rich and the powerful. It was full of the best quality food and wine. It was held in a palace where everyone sat on fine plush couches. And instead of fully satisfying his sheep, Herod ends up slaughtering one of his sheep, John the Baptist, which undoubtedly led to the indigestion of all as they saw his head on a platter. Hardly a satisfying banquet. Jesus' banquet was quite different. It was thrown out of compassion for others, not for himself. It was for the poor and the common, not the rich and the wealthy. The food was just common fare. It was held on the slopes of the green hills. But unlike Herod's banquet, it fully satisfied them all. Better is a dinner with herbs where love is than a fattened ox and hatred with it. See, the contrast reveals Jesus is the true shepherd king of God's people, worthy to be followed and able and willing to satisfy all who do. These sheep that Jesus satisfies were harassed by shepherds like Caesar and Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Pharisees of Jesus' day, but now a truly satisfying shepherd has come, who puts the needs of the sheep above his own. Now, before we move on to the second miracle, let me make sure I've got all my pages in order here. Before we move on to the second miracle, let me just pause and highlight some leadership lessons for us. Like the disciples, pastors can feel responsible for the people entrusted to their care, and rightly so. But this episode shows us that our resources are completely inadequate to meet the vast needs of God's people, either spiritually or physically. So we have to resist the temptation to be the solution. We have to resist the temptation to be the savior. We have to resist the temptation to be the source of satisfaction for our people. It's actually quite liberating when we realize this, when we recognize that we're not ultimately the shepherd that's responsible to satisfy the sheep, but Jesus is. Now, when Jesus tells the disciples, "You give them something to eat," he's pointing out their complete inability to supply the needs of the people. They feel responsible, Jesus is highlighting the lack of resources. The disciples, in turn, can only provide what Jesus provides. So also pastors and leaders of the church, we lack the resources that our people need, but we're called to only provide what Jesus provides us and feed the sheep according to his provision. In other words, be careful of the Messiah complex. We have to point people to Jesus, not to us. Our people have a need to feel seen, heard, encouraged, loved, but we can't see ourselves as a solution to all those needs. If we try, we'll create disciples that are dependent upon us, or we'll completely exhaust ourselves in the process. Our goal should be to create self-feeding sheep who look to Jesus, not to us. And if we're constantly putting ourselves forward as the solution to the problem, is it because we need to be needed? Second lesson here is that we need to pray for a heart of compassion, because it's perhaps easier and more natural for us to develop cold-heartedness towards those in our need, who are in need. We all have those people in our congregation, the ones who suck up most of our time. It seems like they're always in a crisis. Pastor, I got to talk. When can we meet? Texting you at all hours of the night. Because you're Jesus, right? It's exhausting. And then we look at these people like, this is a black hole conversation is going nowhere. I cannot, we've had conversations about this. They're looking to me. I've got nothing. But we have to be careful that it doesn't just stroke our egos. Man, everyone's looking at me. We have to be careful that we don't put ourselves in the place of Jesus, and we don't allow people to put us in the place of Jesus. People have such high expectations of us beyond our resources. Third lesson here is notice that the compassion of Jesus was expressed in feeding souls with the word of God. That's what it says in the text. He felt compassion for them, so he taught them many things. Not so he tried to meet their every need, their every physical, emotional, and relational need. Compassionate preachers preach. I'm not saying there's not a place for counseling or sitting down and weeping with people. There is. But our primary calling is to satisfy the spiritual need of souls with the gospel, and we have to give ourselves to that as church leaders. Because if we don't, then all our time will be sucked up trying to meet social, relational, and other needs. And we have to teach our people that it's compassionate that I don't pick up the phone right now. That's compassion for you. Fourth, the contrast with Herod is important because it reminds us that we are not to feed on the sheep for our own pride, purposes, or self-advancement. Narcissists need the sheep, and the sheep need their narcissist leaders. And it's an unholy relationship. Narcissists use the sheep to meet the needs of their own unsatisfied souls. And the sheep feel like they need their leader. And finally, as shepherds, servants, we can't forget that we're also sheep. We're shepherds, but we're sheep first. We have to feed our own souls on Jesus before we seek to feed others. If we're not satisfied in Jesus, we'll look to other means of satisfaction. And ministry can provide them, no doubt. But they're more like carbohydrates to our souls accolades, admiration, financial gain, prestige, honor, place of honor at the wedding feasts. Pastor, will you come up here and lead us? Oh man, that feels so good. See, when we're not satisfied in Christ, we're tempted to look to Christ's bride to satisfy us. And that is a recipe for disaster, brothers. Well, having been satisfied on the grass, let's take a walk on the water, shall we? Jesus dismisses the crowd, sends his disciples head on the boat so he can be alone with his Father and pray on the mountain because he has another lesson planned. He begins to walk across the lake on the waves, and the disciples are having such a hard time in the wind that Jesus eventually overtakes them and intends to pass them by. The disciples think he's a ghost and cower in fear, and so Jesus says in verse 50, again with compassion, "Take heart, it is I, don't be afraid." Climbs into the boat, wind stops, disciples are astounded. And notice verse 52, they were astounded because they did not understand about the loaves. So these two miracles are connected. What should the disciples have understood about the loaves that would have precluded them from cowering in fear on the waves? Man, the lessons are many. The feeding of the 5,000 reveals that Jesus is the one to whom all the law and the prophets point. They should have understood from the loaves first that Jesus was the new Moses. Moses was the shepherd who led Israel in the wilderness and fed them with bread from heaven, miraculously. They should have understood from the loaves that Jesus is greater than Elijah or Elisha. Elijah fed a widow and her son with a handful of flour for many days, and Elisha fed 100 men with 20 loaves of bread, with some left over. They should have understood from the loaves that Jesus is the divine shepherd from Psalm 23. He makes me lie down in green pastures and restores my soul. They should have understood from the loaves that Jesus is Yahweh come in the flesh to shepherd his sheep. Ezekiel 34:11, "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he's among the sheep and have been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all places where they've been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness, and I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I'll bring them to their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel. I will feed them with good pasture on the mountain heights of Israel. There shall be grazing land. They shall graze in good grazing land and rich pastures. They shall feed on the mountains of Israel, and I myself will be their shepherd, and they will be my sheep, and I will make them lie down, declares the Lord." Had they understood about the loaves, they would have understood Jesus' greeting, verse 50. "Take heart, it is I," is literally, "I am," Yahweh, the name given to Moses at the bush. Had they understood about the loaves, they'd have seen the reference to Job 9, "Who commands the sun and it does not rise? Who seals up the stars? Who alone stretched out the heavens and trampled the waves of the sea? Who made the Bear and the Orion and the Pleiades and the chambers of the south? Who does great things beyond searching out, marvelous things beyond number? Behold, he passes by me and I see him not. He moves on, but I don't perceive him." Had they understood about the loaves, they would have no need to fear on the waves. Since Jesus is the divine shepherd king, the great I am, he has all resources. We have no need that he cannot meet. All we need is found in Jesus, because he's the one to whom the entire Old Testament points to. He's God in the flesh. Had they only understood about the loaves, that Jesus was "I am with you." One final connection. I don't know if you noticed the process when Jesus fed the 5,000. Did you notice the verbs? He took, he blessed, he broke, he gave. Same sequence in the Lord's Supper. Takes the bread, blesses it, breaks it, gives it to the disciples. Except at the final supper, the bread is his body, given for us to satisfy God's holy justice and wrath. His flesh is true food that satisfies. So here's our divine shepherd king, who truly satisfies us. Brothers, are we coming to him as sheep first, instead of feeding on the empty carbs around us that never satisfy? Have you developed unhelpful patterns of seeking satisfaction elsewhere? Is it pornography? Is it alcohol? Doom scrolling on social media? Ranting against strangers on Twitter? Is it just hours of binge watching meaningless television and YouTube videos? You're escaping, you're exhausted, you're starving. Does your lack of satisfaction show up in your quick temper with your wife and children? Is it seen in the exasperation that you feel every Monday morning when you walk into the office exhausted, empty, tired, feeling like people are just going to feed on you all week? Is it seen when you are faced with needs, you're filled with just frustration and exasperation rather than compassion like Jesus? These are signs of an empty soul. So brothers, we have to come to Christ and be satisfied. Only when we're truly satisfied in him will we be able to feed others without the ministry becoming about us. Because Jesus alone is the divine shepherd king who truly satisfies. So we should run to him. True satisfaction. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we do repent to ask your forgiveness for seeking satisfaction outside of you, seeking to be satisfied by those you've entrusted to our care, putting ourselves in the place of a Savior. Lord, we do pray that you'd help us as sheep to feed on you, and that we would have so much left over we'd be able to feed others. Spare your flock from us, for Christ's sake. Amen.